Ladies and gentlemen, youngsters, oldsters, bag ladies, indigents, members of the male and female Peshmerga, welcome to Jumping Nothing, a podcast that leaps off Randy Orton's head, only to be RKO'd into oblivion. My name is Carl, and I'm here for the first time live in South London with Michael.
How's it going, Carl?
And also with new addition, Carl.
Hello, Carl. Hello, Michael.
Hi, Carl. How are you?
I'm wonderful, thank you. Delighted to be here.
Yeah. I like how your intro kind of covered all of the sort of genres of wrestling fan. Indigent. Male.
Peshmerga.
Yeah, what is that?
The Kurdish Liberation Force. Silence.
Slightly less intimidating than Tumblr girls who are into wrestling.
Yeah, they're not going to listen to us though.
Yeah. Are they still around now that the Shield is done?
Yeah, Roman Reigns being popular means that Tumblr girls are very vocal.
Okay, see, I assume they kind of, they would have moved on. Like wildebeest after like a watering hole goes dry to some other fandom, but no, okay.
Well, I mean, I assume, you know, if you can have a personal Tumblr, a Roman Reigns Tumblr, and a pop music related Tumblr, you know, you're not, your entire being isn't devoted for your entire teenage years to one fandom, necessarily.
It sounds exhausting, though.
Watching GIFs of Roman Reigns over and over and over again.
Yeah, but trying to maintain that sort of life in, like, you're into Roman Reigns and you're into the Venture Brothers, and like that's a lot of, because they're like serious communities with like dominance hierarchies and shit.
Yeah, but I mean, if you're a teenage person with hormones running wild, the kind of sanitized aggression you get in professional wrestling can't be matched in a lot of other places, you know. The guys who have an edge to them but who are by definition not gonna hurt them.
That's a kind of a dark psychological insight, I think.
Yeah, I think I've actually made that insight on this podcast before, about 3 years ago.
Okay.
Anyway, what have you been doing, Michael, in the year we've been
red? I can't remember. Did we say we quit watching wrestling forever? Because we did that once or twice during the previous run of the podcast.
We've done that twice, but we didn't actually explicitly quit watching wrestling forever at the end of the last run.
Okay.
I think it was generally implied, listening to your previous episodes, that you were going to continue watching wrestling. Probably forever.
Yeah. Yeah.
So have you been watching wrestling?
I guess so. Like, kind of. I've been dipping in and out. I don't know if I like wrestling. That's the thing.
It is like, an issue.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, I'm vaguely aware of... I've been listening to wrestling podcasts, because there's a million of those. Okay. And we're adding to it now.
And what about you, Carl? Have you been actually watching wrestling?
I've been watching tons of wrestling, because that's what I watch.
This was the pitch for Carl to join the show. He's somebody that actually watches pro wrestling.
Yeah.
At least the popular pro wrestling. I don't want to have to get into too many deep conversations about New Japan, but...
Well, that's gonna come to the wrong place.
I know, but that's why I can add the mainstream kind of counterbalance here.
Okay.
I can talk about WWF.
So, Michael, fan of Soviet realist cinema or something. Carl, man who likes things that other people like.
Yeah. You did film studies as well. You've got some Soviet cinema cred.
I have all that cred, but I also have listening to Carly Rae Jepsen cred.
Yeah, I don't have that.
Where else in the world are you getting two people with film studies discussing professional wrestling at the same damn time? Anyway, things have been happening in the world of wrestling.
Yeah.
Not just in the last 2 weeks, but in the last year. Does anybody know exactly how long it's been? This would be so easy to find out, and I should have found out, but I didn't.
It's been like 8 or 9 months. Okay. Not quite a whole year, I think.
That's not that bad.
Yeah, that's okay.
Okay, well, Carl, run down what's been going on.
Okay, so lots of things have happened in wrestling, and to briefly summarize them, WWE, the biggest wrestling company on the planet, decided to handpick and groom an heir to John Cena, build him up for 8 months, and then completely destroy him at WrestleMania when they chose Seth Rollins instead of Roman Reigns to be the next WWE champion, which was good, I think.
Did they destroy him though? Or because I feel like
they maybe not did. They maybe didn't destroy him, but they destroyed 8 months worth of work.
Yeah, they did do that.
Stupid work that they shouldn't have done in the first place. But
I'm going to put forth that they didn't destroy him or destroy the work. This is the way wrestling works now. You have to build your own sandcastle so you can kick it down for your own entertainment. Like, the fact that they built Reigns but Rollins benefited from it doesn't mean that the work was wasted, because the show gains, right?
Yeah, I'm concerned because I would have liked to have seen him destroyed, and I'm concerned they're just sort of tactical retreat, and that they're going to inflict him on us. You know the way they said they're going to bring back all the people we actually like for WrestleMania next year?
Yeah,
that's the kind of rumor. Like, Roman Reigns is going to beat Stone Cold Steve Austin. He's going to make Steve Austin tap out to the sharpshooter. So I'm afraid that's going to happen. I don't think we're safe.
Well, they've already started building a Roman Reigns Big Show feud, which I'm sure you'll be happy to know about.
But we have Seth Rollins as the WWE champion, John Cena as the US champion, and Bryan as the Intercontinental champion.
Mm-hmm.
That's not a bad state of affairs.
Yeah,
it's really good. Rollins does the super heelish stuff really well, and is good on the mic. He's good at everything, and I think it's great that he's the champion. And it's good that the other two have the previously crappy championships.
Bryan is like built in a lab to be the Intercontinental champion. He's not big enough to be the World Heavyweight Champion, and he does a lot of work, and everybody loves him. And then Cena is in WWE canon, he is the American. He is what America stands for. Very large muscles and hot.
Yeah. I like that Seth Rollins. Seth Rollins is the champion, and he's the guy that jumped off Randy Orton's head.
Yeah.
Which is a nice sort of starting point for the new season.
Yeah.
For Jumping Nothing, the next generation. That he is now the champion. The sort of Jumping Nothing king of current times.
Yeah, despite the intro, it wasn't technically a Jumping Nothing. It was very clear what he was trying to do.
Yeah.
It was a curb stomp, right? That's his move.
Yeah, curb stomp.
He's trying to do a curb stomp. And
I think it was a subtle Jumping Nothing. He was trying to do it, but then, like, it isn't... You can't fling a man by his feet into the air with the strength of your own neck muscles. You can't launch somebody with your brainstem. So it even defies the basic logic of professional wrestling physiology that Randy Orton's head was that springy. I think it qualifies as a Jumping Nothing.
Okay, well that's in that case. That
I'm
is,
trying to do a thing
that
for
is the
show.
clear Jumping Nothing of the off season in that case.
Yeah, I mean, the Jumping Nothing that brought us back.
Yes, yeah. As well as the security guys. Mercury and Noble or whatever, one of them constantly does this sort of swan dive thing off the top rope towards when Orton and Rollins are feuding up to WrestleMania. He'd constantly leap, like, arms asplay towards Orton in like a textbook kind of Christian style Jumping Nothing where your ride's perfectly horizontal already. Those were good. Mm-hmm. But I suppose they didn't have the WrestleMania moment that Rollins did.
Yeah. Anyway, other stuff happened, didn't it, Colin?
Some other stuff happened outside of WWE. Lucha Underground and NXT continue to make the best television, the best wrestling television, as far as I can see. Any thoughts?
Yeah, it's a low bar.
Yeah, and it almost feels cheap giving credit to NXT at this stage, especially because this path of giving credit where it's due is kind of well-worn now.
Mm.
It's a bit annoying to have to say, oh, NXT is pretty good.
Yeah,
the women's matches are 8 minutes long. It's fantastic.
Yeah.
That's just TNA though, right? It's like a smaller, more engaged crowd and longer women's matches with women who can wrestle. That's just TNA, and everybody hates TNA.
Yeah, well, it was TNA in like 2006 is what NXT is now. In that.
Right, well, that's what I've been watching in clip shows on Challenge TV.
Yeah, didn't we set as our goal in one of the very early episodes of Jumping Nothing, we were going to get our own show on Challenge TV.
Yeah, and we will.
Okay, great.
If we injure Marty Skrull, then we can be called in to replace him.
So I've never seen Lucha Underground. It's Lucha.
It's not real Lucha. It's Americanized, internationalized Lucha. It's just kind of based on more Lucha-centric characters, more traditional characters, and it's quite filmic, a lot of the vignettes and stuff that they do. Yeah. But the actual wrestling is really good. They've got...
Your boy Ricochet, is he still the champ?
Yeah, Prince Puma is his name in...
Fair play
to him. Yeah, he's great. And John Morrison, a former WWE fame, I don't know what they call him now in Lucha Underground, but he's in it. Very good. Lots of great guys.
Didn't he quit because he was like following out his girlfriend who got fired?
Originally? Melina. I thought he quit because he wanted to do films or something. And he felt a bit beaten up. I think it was kind of punky.
Right. Because he was like upper mid card at the best of times in WWE. He was a decent guy. When I like started watching back again, he was a guy doing... He was shit, but he seemed to have a career. So it's nice to see him doing well.
Yeah.
Anyway, what about across the Pacific Ocean?
Across the Pacific Ocean in New Japan, AJ Styles and Kenny Omega are big time champs, bigging up the Gaijin team, but that doesn't matter because Shinsuke Nakamura is the best wrestler in the world. Is that correct?
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah.
That leaves, and Ricochet and Shinsuke Nakamura are coming together in a clash of titans in York Hall, London for us in a couple of weeks.
Exactly.
Oh, yeah. It'd
be fucking dope, man.
Yeah. We're not sponsored by Revolution Pro, just though we're open to it, I guess. Yeah,
we're not sponsored by DraftKings either.
But if any of you want to get in touch,
I'm not doing DraftKings. DraftKings is just gambling.
Oh, okay. I
don't know if American people don't realize that, but it is. Anyway.
This is a three-person thing. We'll talk about this democratically afterwards.
Okay. Yeah, but I haven't seen any New Japan since the Dome show. What goes on there? Styles?
Not much. Lots of kicking. Lots of kicking and lots of people landing on their necks.
I think because...
It's great, but... It's cringeworthy stuff.
Like, Michael, you are the world's biggest fan of, like, the flat back bump. And the story told through, like, discreet and perfectly executed moves. But you still like Japanese wrestling.
Well, I like New Japan. See, I never liked pro wrestling, no. When that was the thing for years, people, you know, people like me would have been like, I'm into pro wrestling, Noah. What's going on WWE? Oh, Bobby Lashley. And that's where all the sort of just pick you up for a powerbomb, but just come down at a diagonal sort of arc and land a guy on his neck. And yeah, I am a fan of the flatback bump. I think that's what I respect in wrestling. But I think New Japan is moving people toward the flatback bump and the sort of pyro and wearing flashy clothes.
Yeah.
And away from... being a sort of a burly Japanese man who's unsafe, which is what wrestling, the draw of Japanese wrestling was for you.
The reason that they wrestle like that in Japan, though, is just because they tour less, right? Like, the reason WWE wrestling is so safe, so to speak, is that they do 200 and something dates a year, right?
Yeah.
It's like an environmental factor in why they're not drilling each other on their necks anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, it's that, and it's just, it's a cultural thing. They just got addicted to getting the sort of, like they'd watch tapes of Inoki getting suplexed by Vader and landing on his head, and that was a big event. They didn't do all the neck bumps at that, and they just aped that for years. And then Misawa died.
Yeah.
Misawa got literally decapitated in the ring.
He did not get literally.
Well, he got internally decapitated. That's kind of literally decapitated.
Figuratively decapitated, but did die.
Yeah. No. Actually decapitated. I'm sorry, this is a bit dark to be going on about decapitation. Yeah, but I'm pretty sure.
Like he severed a spinal column
or
something?
Yeah, internally decapitated.
Okay.
We should move on from this. I like Japanese wrestling, though.
Okay.
Yeah.
And finally, we're still waiting to find out who CM Punk is going to debut against in UFC. And we're a third of the way through the year and we don't yet know who's going to put an end to CM Punk's life.
I don't think... They're going to give him, like...
they're going to feed him some dead meat, some guy who's 0-1 who really wants to be on a big card.
Yeah, I was just, for whatever reason, I was going to say, they're going to just put him against like a used fighter.
But the That's used fighter will be experienced enough to have listened to the 2 or 3 hours of podcast that CM Punk is doing, where he's described every single terrible injury he's ever had, and will know exactly how to exploit him.
Mm. Is anyone here an expert on UFC?
No.
I think claiming to be an expert on UFC is a self-defeating thing.
Okay, so nobody knows whether or not you would be allowed to wrestle with a staph infection.
No, he wouldn't be allowed to.
No,
he wouldn't be allowed to compete in UFC with a staph infection if they knew about it.
He wouldn't be allowed to like go to work, like if he worked at a restaurant with a staph infection, let alone wrestle. Like you're not meant to be like.
You're very sick if you have a staph infection.
It's why then a concussion and a staph infection? Poor old CM Punk, rolling around the roads. But yeah, he's going to get murdered. He is a used fighter and he hasn't even started yet.
I'd love if whoever he's fighting goes back and watches a bunch of CM Punk tapes and is looking for tips. And then in his first fight, fucking goes for the pedigree. Yeah. Like the second into it, or like the jackknife powerbomb.
Oh yeah, he's known as a scholar, this fighter. He's goes to his Brazilian jiu-jitsu gym and watches fucking Money in the Bank to see what the best way to take Punk down is.
The only thing that Punk has in his favour, to my eyes, is that he's an extremely angry man and he may just kill someone if he gets in a ring and is allowed to, you know, tear someone's head off, UFC style.
It's like an old-timey boxing prize fight. They're going to find somebody who's kind of a crap, either a really old or an 0-1 kind of fighter. They're going to sit down in a room and go, all right, listen, you know, we're going to be high on a card at some UFC pay-per-view. Let's put on a bit of a show. Don't hit me in my kidney. My kidney's crap. Okay, as long as you don't put me in an elbow hold, because I'm not into those. And they'll work out some sort of, like, they'll set their own rules and they'll have a fight. And they might, it might go along, because nobody's going to go for he's not going to go for the attitude adjustment. Punk's.
So basically, they're going to have a wrestling match.
Yeah, well,
they'll work out a finish.
It'll be a shoot fight with like set gentlemen's agreements on the body parts that they kind of hit.
Like that dome show. Like once a year, they have a semi shoot fight in the middle of the dome show, but it's got obviously a set ending and. You're probably not supposed to knock each other out or whatever. But otherwise you're hurt. It seems like a waste of time, doesn't it? To like get hurt for a ultimately predetermined outcome. That's just wrestling though, isn't it?
Well, yeah. If you're getting paid millions of dollars to do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
I'd probably be down. Like.
Fine. That's fine. Anyway.
So that's what's happened, I guess.
Yeah. And after a piece of music, we're going to discuss Brock Lesnar. Do we know what we're going to discuss about Brock Lesnar?
Just that he's a gigantic. I laid this out in email. He's like a carnival freak that we pay 2 bits of gander to have a look at, and that's great.
Okay,
well, that's our view on Brock Lesnar. I think.
Hear that after the break.
So, Brock Lesnar is a carnival sideshow freak, and that's his only appeal, and that's fine.
Is that okay, Carl?
Yeah, it is okay. And it's good that we get to go see freaks, because this is what we've been watching for the last 2 decades of our lives, searching for freaks to watch. We've just come to an era where we've had a massive period of dominance by perhaps the biggest freak of all time.
So that's, this is the appeal of Lesnar. He is just the super freak, if you will.
Yeah. Well, is that what the appeal of wrestling is? Like, are we just here to gawk at these weird looking nude men?
I'm kind of disappointed that we're all sort of on the same lines here, because that's my take on Lesnar as well, is that he's in the land of giants. He is the perfect bigger, stronger, better at fighting guy to pitch everyone against. You can have Cena actually do like up and comer, scrappy comeback type of guy against Lesnar. You can't have him do that against almost anyone else, because they've already killed Henry long ago and Big Show and all them. But Lesnar's real. He's big and he's extremely good at wrestling.
Like, okay, here's the question, right? Are we... So let's put our cards on the table. We're three people. We're three arseholes with a wrestling podcast that enjoy wrestling enough that we think other people will want to hear us talk about it. That's an incredibly dickish opinion, personality feature of all of us.
Yeah.
And frankly, we should be all about the sort of hipster, serious, work rate, you know, internet darling wrestlers, right? But all three of us are like, look at Brock Lesnar. He's a large meat man. This is brilliant. He's very violent. He's hard way busting people open.
Every fucking time.
Yeah.
It's amazing.
But are we letting ourselves down?
No.
As douchebags?
But
do we not have a responsibility?
Lesnar's something outside wrestling that almost legitifies wrestling. So he is... When he came in, he was a normal wrestler. He was like a big, bad WCW wrestler in WWE. And then he left and he came back. And because his face has been so brutalized and he's even bigger than he was before, he just seems like he's been dug out of the earth. And he's been unleashed upon people. He's like a Norwegian god or something. And he's just this big, completely ludicrous human being that is impossible to beat. And they kind of, WWE realized that after a while, after he came back. Like, he beat Punk with a kind of screwy thing with Heyman. But then after that, once Cena, Taker at Mania, these matches, it's like there was no way he was going to lose these matches. And it's just, I'm the most dominant thing in the world. This is what an actual fight looks like in a wrestling context.
Doesn't it have kind of the cast of the idea that Lesnar was like taken away from Vince through some skullduggery or white magic done by someone, you know, behind the curtain, and it took him this long to figure out, get the right ingredients, get the right wording to like bring Lesnar up from beneath the soil and perch him on top of WWE again? Like, because Lesnar's not Vince's creation in the way that most guys are. It's most of it's there right at the start. Most of it is there. He looks like an absolute cunt. And he doesn't wrestle that differently now than he wrestled the day he came in.
Yeah.
He does suplexes and he doesn't sell, really. Or when he does, he like way oversells. It goes from nothing to everything.
Yeah, here's what I'm kind of getting at. Here's my objection, right? So we discussed way back when how I think Bret Hart's like the perfect wrestler. Like I said, amazing flat back bumps.
Yeah.
His own flat back bumps and the flat back bumps he inflicts on other people. Perfect geometrical, theatrical wrestling. And smart wrestler. Everything happens for a reason and it's a structured, storied match. Every match, because we went back and we watched a bunch of Lesnar matches, every match he looks sort of upset and confused, and after a while he looks lost. I better do a suplex now, and he'll do a suplex. I'm like, yeah, Brock Lesnar threw this smaller man around. And I'm like, but no, I'm into Bret Hart. I'm into smart, safe wrestling.
Yeah.
And he's not. He's just a large, violent looking thing.
But there's a difference between appreciating Brock Lesnar and being a fan of Brock Lesnar. I don't think any of us are actually fans of Brock Lesnar, are we?
I don't know. Like, chronologically, the first one of the group that we all watched, we kind of watched varying different ones, but ones that we all watched was Angle at WrestleMania 19,
yeah.
I think.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a Bret Hart match. It's a professional wrestling version of amateur wrestling, because both he and Angle are used to... They know the next counter in the way that, like, William Regal presents British wrestling as having been, even though it wasn't really.
Yeah.
But like each hold has a natural next hold, and they knew how to do it, and they wrestled like that. So he can do. I know he's probably being led by Angle in that match.
Mm.
But that's the only one that's stylistically different to the rest of them. But he can do it. He can wrestle if he wants to.
I guess so. But even like we watched the Eddie match.
Yeah.
I wasn't too keen on that. I remember thinking it was great at the time because I liked seeing Eddie Guerrero win. But again, it was just like, there's the nuts and bolts of a story there. He injures his knee, and then Eddie's gonna hit him in the knee. But in the middle of the match, he gets up and he goes, "What am I doing? I'm in a wrestling match. I better throw the guy." and again, I'm like, "Yeah, this is fine. He's just squash him." Eddie Guerrero is only like 5'9".
But that Eddie
he deserves to be thrown around.
That Eddie match was 10 years ago, and that was when Brock Lesnar still, despite being a freak beast, adhered to the rules of professional wrestling, like the unwritten, this is how wrestling matches work. So at the start of that match, when Eddie is coming out, Michael Cole is putting over Eddie's like Road to Redemption story, beating addiction.
Literally says Road to Redemption.
Yeah. There's no way actually, even though you know what's going to happen, if you're watching at a time as a sensible human being, there's no way Eddie can lose the match, which is bizarre because it's against Brock Lesnar. So he should definitely lose the match if there's any sense of reality there. Whereas now, 10 years later, that's completely dispensed with. There's no possibility of Brock Lesnar losing a match. The only way he can lose the title is by some sort of weird screwy thing, like a three-way match where he's not involved in the finish, as happened at WrestleMania. So there's no Michael Cole anymore saying maybe Lesnar won't win this match. It's Lesnar's definitely going to win the match because Lesnar's the biggest, strongest, angriest, most violent person in the world, and there's no way to beat him.
Are we being worked, boys? We all have degrees. I don't like to think that we're being worked.
We're always being worked. Everybody's being fucking worked. Like, well, it's when you work long enough, you work yourself into a shoot, right? Hulk Hogan.
Yeah. Work yourself into a shoot. Yeah.
Legitimately speaking, from a professional wrestling standpoint, Lesnar has had two runs. One of them was March 2002 until March 2004, and then one of them was April 2012 until this past April 2015. That's exactly 5 years, basically. He's got the 8th longest cumulative title reign of any WWE champion ever. More than Austin, more than Triple H, more than Punk, more than Michaels, more than The Rock, more than The Undertaker. He just came in and he was the champion. It worked. He is what Roman Reigns, what Vince hoped Roman Reigns would be, I would argue. But he's just got it. And it's kind of depressing, as if you're trying to be a smart wrestling fan or whatever. It's kind of depressing to think that you can just have it in the way that Vince thinks you can just have it, which by extension means that you can just not have it. Like Brian doesn't have it. Like Punk doesn't really have it. Lesnar has it like Hogan has it.
It's weird comparing Lesnar to Hogan, because even though they're both two huge freaks at their time, like Hogan's Cena-esque, you know, doesn't tap out.
Yeah.
Like Lesnar, if you could ever get him in a position to tap out, he probably would tap out because he's a real fighter. That would, in Lesnar logic, his gimmick, I suppose, is that he's a tough MMA guy. But if you get him in a legitimate submission hold, he'd tap in a second because that's what you do, because that's normal.
Has Lesnar ever tapped out in professional wrestling? Not in any of the matches we watched.
No.
Never.
Maybe in his first run, like, definitely not in his second run.
Yeah. Or Eddie had him in an STF. That was didn't look like it would have actually worked in reality. It would have looked like if Brock just tensed his, like, what are the muscles beside your neck?
They're your traps, are they?
Yeah.
Yeah, if he just flexed his traps, Eddie would have, like, sprung like an elastic band out of the ring.
Let's compare, right, Brock Lesnar and John Cena, because John Cena is also a big white muscly man.
Yeah,
but he looks so like brittle or something, or he looks artificial, like he's on a lot of drugs.
Yeah,
and he's kind of added all this mass to his frame. Whereas just like Brock Lesnar is like a loaf of ham that's sprung to life, or something. He's just like I don't want to keep saying he's a big meaty looking thing, because it sounds vague, but I mean it really literally. He looks like pork.
Yeah, like hyper compressed pork.
It looks like you know those certain types of steaks where they've selectively bred the cattle over like 300 years in some remote part of some remote part of Scotland, and they now just look like big hulking like muscle calves.
So Brock Lesnar is the product of eugenics.
Yes.
Wrestling eugenics.
He could though, but doesn't he look like this is, if I, okay, just to clarify, I'm not into eugenics, but if I were keen on eugenics, the guy I'd lash up on the poster, come to my meeting about eugenics,
It's Brock Lesnar,
yeah.
But he doesn't look, like, it depends what you're looking for from your eugenics. If you're looking for
a fucking army.
Yeah. If that's what you want from your eugenics, yeah, okay, Brock Lesnar, if you want.
What else would you be looking for eugenics? You want
the ideal of beauty, you know, like the Grecian statue.
I guess so.
It doesn't look like Brock Lesnar. You're not it looks gonna, more like John Cena, actually.
No, it doesn't even look like John Cena. John Cena's grim looking, man.
Well, who's
mostly up close, though. It's a skin thing and...
Yeah, he makes a good, like, toy.
Yeah.
But up close, you can tell he's just, like, he's been in one wash too many.
What John Cena looks like, to get back to this a little bit, the comparison, John Cena looks like a professional wrestler, whereas, actually, Lesnar doesn't anymore. He may have in his first run, but now, at this stage, he doesn't really look like a professional wrestler. He looks like a giant piece of meat that beats the crap out of people.
Yeah.
Even then, it was kind of like, it looked more like functional muscle than a lot of people have. It looked like, you know the way like a really big doorman just looks like he'd destroy you. And you look at him and you kind of think like, well, if I got a punch in first or whatever, but he'd just knock you over with his force of will.
He'd walk at you.
Yeah.
And that'd be it.
That'd be it. That's what Lesnar looks like, except like times a million.
But there was then the difference between, say, Lesnar's first WWE run and then when you see him when he kind of hit his stride in the UFC. So there's a big difference between in being in wrestling shape, which isn't necessarily good cardiovascular or strength wise.
Although that said, he doesn't blow up as much as big people.
No, not at all. But and then when he was in proper UFC shape, that's like you have to be able to go at a million miles an hour for 5 championship rounds.
Yeah.
Like he wasn't necessarily the best at that. He got shown to be not that good at that eventually. But like there was a total difference. And now he still retains some of the big, I know he's pouring sweat after 2 minutes of every wrestling match that he has, but he's still in pretty good shape and can go. Like he's not like The Rock lying on the ground for 35 minutes at WrestleMania because he's in freak beast movie star shape rather than athletic shape.
He's not cutting water.
Yeah.
Although I will say about the sweat, further to your meat point, have you ever cooked like a cheap hot dog or whatever and they're just like pumped full of water and the minute you put like a fork into it, even before it's cooked, if you try to fry it or whatever, they just ooze water.
Yeah.
That's what Lesnar's like, is as soon as you agitate him, he just starts to like leak added fluids.
It's
repulsive.
Yeah, it is really, really.
That's kind of how you know he's, instead of selling, he just starts to become more red and covered with sweat.
Yeah, it looks good because he gets so red. I mean, you're right, it's in place of selling, but it also looks like he's become cartoonishly angry.
Yeah.
As well. Like, you shouldn't have done this. You shouldn't have made him this red. Now he's in his final form.
He's like it's like a boss, right? Mm. Like a video game boss.
Yeah.
That's
the one that you're never going to be because you don't use cheats.
Yeah, or you need to like...
Is that a Jermaine reference? Are there still cheats in video games? I don't think so.
I don't think platform video games in general are that popular anymore, are they?
No.
But like it is the kind of thing where you do it and you just give up and then you look up on the internet and the only way to do it is to like lead 6 other flying bad guys from a different part of the world to hang them around the guy, so then Lesnar is like batting at them and then you get him in the knees. Like it's not something that you can legit, and that's the way they approach it certainly in the second run as well. He's not someone you can just beat. Doesn't happen. He beat the Undertaker.
Mm.
Like, did you watch the Undertaker match?
Yeah, again, I found the exact same the second time round as the first time round, that the match just stops. Like, they just sort of go. I didn't think that was a well-structured match either. It was Brock Lesnar throwing around an old man.
Yeah.
I think that match is especially hard to look at, like, critically as well, because The Undertaker is so mashed up. Like, he said he doesn't remember most of the match.
Really?
I think he had a serious concussion or something, was it?
That he got from Brock Lesnar at the start of the match.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
So he's not really present for a lot of the match and is just getting bashed around, which is, you know, it's good in a way because it sets up Lesnar's next year.
Hmm.
And he's just a completely dominating freak beast, as we keep saying. But it's, yeah, there's no catharsis in that Lesnar match of him finding his freak beastness. It's just like, boom, it's there.
That's the reason that match doesn't work, though, is, as Meltzer pointed out at the time, because the crowd can't follow it like a regular match because it's an Undertaker match and nobody thinks that the Undertaker is going to lose. So there's no opportunity for Lesnar to find something halfway through and have a sort of moment of redemption or change or whatever.
Yeah. But
it is strange that they put the Undertaker against Lesnar as the way they put everyone against Lesnar, in that Undertaker is going to have to be the guy who fights back out of nowhere and uses resilience to win. He's like 50. How is that ever going to work?
Yeah. Yeah, I found it hard because I like seeing. It's fine when Brock Lesnar's thrown around Roman Reigns, because yeah. Roman Reigns is like a young actual wrestler. So yeah, suplex him arbitrarily at any point. But yeah, it's beating up an old man. It was like the time that Ric Flair was in a Money in the Bank match and took a bump off the ladder. I was just upset by it. I think that's why that match doesn't work. Like, he's just. The Undertaker isn't a wizard anymore. He's just a sad, old, like he's your mate's dad who was a biker in the 70s.
The Undertaker, yeah.
Yeah, and who now works in Waitrose or whatever, as a manager.
Yeah, and your dad and your mate's dads, when you're horse playing with them when you're a kid, they're always just stronger than you because they're adults and big men. And then suddenly you're like horse playing with your dad and you're about 19 and you go, oh, shit, I'm actually stronger than him. And it's like Brock Lesnar knew this going in. We all find out just naturally, but he knew that he was stronger than his dad and just went and beat the crap out of him. It wasn't fair.
It's notable as well that Brock Lesnar looks a bit like Son I Am Disappoint.
Oh, yeah, it does. Okay.
What do you think about the fact that I think in every single one of the about 8 recommended matches, and in also every one of the ones that weren't recommended, we'll put those in the show notes, that I watched, someone bleeds. In the first run, it's usually Lesnar, and it's usually accidental. It's his lip, or he seems to have really flimsy skin, possibly because of all the meat packed underneath it. But he bleeds constantly. And in the second run, it's usually someone else, and often on purpose, like the hard way or whatever. Do you think that helps? Do you think that's like that gets adrenaline going in a way that other people don't have access to?
It's the same thing again. Like, I shouldn't enjoy it. I have voiced philosophical objections to just bleeding in a wrestling match because it's fake and it's silly. But for whatever reason, it's fine when it's Brock Lesnar. Maybe it is the realism of it looks like he's about to spring a leak.
Yeah.
Like, he looks like he's too irrigated. But It works. I don't want to enjoy this. This is my thing about Brock Lesnar. I don't want to enjoy Brock Lesnar's matches. I think he's a bad wrestler, and I don't like large men. But why is there any appeal? Why am I like this is brilliant? Maybe I am into eugenics. I don't know.
Yeah,
or I could be.
Well, Brock Lesnar's making people hard way bleed over the last like 2 years, and he's doing it by. We all kind of go mad for strong style kicks and stuff. Go, oh, that's more real. This is adding to professional wrestling. Brock Lesnar is bringing real fighting to professional wrestling, albeit in a moderately fake way. So he's going hardcore. Like, when he's throwing a forearm in someone's face, even if he's delivering the flat of his forearm, it's still about 12 inches wide and he's going 100 miles an hour. So when he smacks like CM Punk in the face, say, or John Cena in the face 10 times, you can see that they're not like selling his forearm. He's smashing them in the face with his forearm.
That's
like,
always, yeah. In the start of the Punk match, you can see what your smart fan brain would interpret to be Punk being like, okay, slow down now, mate. Because Lesnar is hitting him. And he's got him in his shoulder and him in the corner. He's doing things that, even if they're done safely, are going to take a toll on you. They're going to wind you, or they're going to fuck up your face.
Seen or Punk even getting thrown across that announce table and his back torn open by the little monitor.
Yeah.
And Lesnar just continuing as if that doesn't happen.
Is that how he got the staph infection?
No, I don't think so. Okay. The staph infection, I think, was just either just above, or just above or just below his shorts or his pants or
whatever. Do you see that when WWE are like suing him now for defamation or whatever, and they released that like 10-minute video that's on their the official WWE channel on YouTube, but it's private, and it's just slow motion footage of CM Punk's arse with occasional crash zooms onto locations where there's no staph infection at all. It feels like Vince McMahon was in the edit suite, just going, look at that, there's no staph infection there. And put this, like, why would a company do that? Like, why would, anyway, it's out there. Probably find it, put it in the show notes if you want to look at CM Punk's arse.
Okay.
Really slowly, no staph infections.
Is it important that Brock went to do MMA? Is it important that he's an MMA guy, or is it that just part of his biography? Like,
I think for his legend this time around, it's really important. It's like, it's the thing that separates him from other wrestlers. Obviously, there's physically differences between him and other people and the way he wrestles.
So,
what's the idea that it's real? Like, that he is a genuine tough guy. For all the cynics out there, this guy will actually kill you.
Does anybody actually know, like, did anybody follow his UFC career? Because I'm not a big UFC guy.
Yeah, he lost his first match and then won, and then I think he won an interim championship, and then he won a big, huge showpiece match to become official champion, and then he had, I think, one or two defenses, and then he got his head kicked in by Cain Velasquez.
Yeah, and then he came back briefly and lost to Alistair Overeem.
Yeah, that was quite funny because he didn't seem very well prepared for that match, and he just got his head slapped in by Alistair Overeem, who again looks really tough but isn't actually a brilliant MMA fighter.
Yeah, he was also on lots of drugs, but here's the thing, because people are saying, yeah, no, he was a UFC champion. My view is, like, UFC's like crock of shit. Like, they handed Lesnar the title, they put the, yeah, there was some mad thing with the interim title. This is some preparation I probably should have done before I showed, but didn't. But there's something along the lines of, who's that really old man?
Randy Couture.
Yes. Yeah. That really old man. So Randy Couture, he had the interim title, or he had something. He was a guy that legitimized Brock Lesnar, but he was like 100 years old.
And about 100 pounds short of Brock Lesnar. Like, Randy Couture is not a natural super freak beast heavyweight by any stretch.
Yeah.
And it also came at a time where UFC had a dearth of, you know, really amazing heavyweight guys, like the more interesting fighters and the super good ones that are going to be legendary in the future, for the last like 5 or 10 years have all been way down the weight classes.
Yeah,
but you can only fight what's in front of you.
Exactly. And also, a heavyweight in UFC and MMA in general, like, when these lads are throwing such absolutely humongous punches, you can have a guy that isn't that good that's going to beat the guy who's supposed to be really good just by some freak accident of punching. Yeah.
Okay. Here's my thing about Brock Lesnar in general. It ties into his UFC mythos or whatever.
Yeah.
Brock Lesnar left WWE not because he said he wanted to go play football, and like, that's idiotic. Like, that's total, like, if he meant it, it's really stupid.
We did go try.
Like. Yeah, he did go try, but he was an ex-pro wrestler. He was in his mid-20s, didn't play in college, you know football, so you're about to say something that looks stupid, so I'm going to move on really quickly.
Right.
But the point is, Brock Lesnar always looks like he doesn't want to be there. He looked like he didn't want to be there in WWE. Like, I don't know if you guys got a chance to watch the match against Goldberg at WrestleMania 20.
Yeah.
Where neither guy wanted to wrestle the other. Even in the Eddie match, you could tell he wasn't that into it. He looks like a sad man. Because there's always a moment where he comes out onto the stage and he does his little hop. And before, like, the pyro or anything, he looks kind of nervous or frightened. And then he gets into the ring and he says, well, they're going to expect me to shout something. So he shouts it. And then he looks nervous again because he's worried Eddie Guerrero will shoot on him and like kill him or something.
That, come on, man. Like, there is nobody in the WWE that Lesnar couldn't beat up.
Not in a fair fight, yes, but I feel like some of those old veterans, like Eddie Guerrero, will just put his thumb in Brock Lesnar's eye and not give a shit.
I think that then that would lead to Brock Lesnar killing Eddie Guerrero, you know, 3 months before he eventually died.
Yeah. Eating him like a corn on the cob is the image I'm getting.
There's not a single person I can think of in WWE history, or at least modern history, who could beat up Brock Lesnar.
Andre, that's it. And Andre has some certain advantages.
What about the Hulkster? Hogan beat Andre.
I don't think Hogan...
In a shoot, apparently.
In a shoot.
Yeah, he didn't know what the finish was going to be until I read that somewhere recently. Hogan claimed that he wasn't sure if Andre was going to do the honors, which is bollocks, obviously.
He made sure he did by hitting him with a devastating body slam and a leg drop.
He like earned Andre's respect by punching him real hard, and then Andre was like, "Okay, give me a body slam." Anyway, it's bollocks. But anyway, the point I'm trying to make is Brock Lesnar looks like somebody who is sad, doesn't want to be here, doesn't really like pro wrestling. And the specific impression I get, and I don't know if you're detecting the same sort of doe-eyed sadness in Lesnar that I detect, but the impression I get is that he's kind of saddled with this large meat man physique and he can't get out of it. He'd rather not be like that hot dog you were describing. He'd rather not be a gigantic man who had to play football or do wrestling or do UFC. He'd rather be like a weedy man that knows about botany and JavaScript.
Well, this is the most obvious example of projection I have ever heard. But I think there's something to that. But he was big in primary school, he was big in middle school, he's big in high school, and he wrestled and he was great at it, and he won a national championship, and he went to college and he was an All-American, and he's always been successful. But at some point in that, he realized that there's more to life or whatever, so this is just what he's good at. It's like when Tyson Fury does interviews, he says he fucking hates boxing but he loves money. And there's an element of that to it, isn't it? Like even the famous UFC interview where he said he was going to have Coors Light instead of Bud Light, and then he had to come out afterwards and drink Bud Light at the press conference to prove good faith to Bud Light. Like,
that point is a good kind of display of how uninterested he can be in WWE. So now during his run, he's had various feuds, but he doesn't really go in for the whole classic WWE promo stuff. Whereas when he was in the UFC, especially at the start of his run before he started getting his head kicked in, he would say, be a real loudmouth, brash kind of heel character, which was bizarre. It's like, why didn't you do that properly in your first run, and then why do you not even try to do it in your second run in WWE? So one of the things I wrote down while watching all these matches, I watched the build up to the SummerSlam match with Punk, and Brock Lesnar says this, I hope this is a pretty accurate quote: Punk thinks just because he tapes his hands and has a bunch of tattoos and takes MMA classes for beginners at his local gym, that he's a tough guy. And he just delivers that completely deadpan, sitting face to camera, his mushy face with completely expressionless. And you go, you're not even going in for this WWE stuff. You're not even being a heel here. You're just being a kind of angry, pessimistic arse who knows that he's going to kick the crap out of someone. And he does the same with John Cena, then he says he's going to leave him in a pile of something like his own urine, vomit and blood. And you're going, whoa, that is not WWE. People used to say, I'm going to beat him center of the ring, 1, 2, 3. And you're going, oh, that's the threat from the heel, is it?
I'm going to send him back to Russia.
Yeah.
I guess he's a heel, so he's not sending anybody back to Russia.
But now he's going to
leave my mates from Russia.
Some ridiculous non-threatening threat. But now it's, I'm going to leave him in his own vomit, urine and whatever. All of the bodily fluids. And he's gone, oh, that is serious. I don't want to fight Brock Lesnar.
So he is his own genre now, definitely. Like a Brock Lesnar match isn't a wrestling match in the WWE style. It's like, it's as different as Japanese wrestling matches to a WWE match, basically, right? It doesn't have the flows of selling or whatever. So he's his own deal. Is he good for wrestling? Apart from being great to watch, does he cause good things to reflect onto the rest of the show?
That's a tough one to answer, because WWE in general is kind of bad for wrestling. So the whole product together is kind of... I don't know if it's bad for wrestling. It's bad. It's bad. It's just... It's not good.
Okay, do you want to take... Is he good for WWE?
Yeah, there's two... he's doing anything on the show now, really.
He's gone.
Oh, yeah, okay. Well, you know, he's gone, but he's also signed. You know what I mean?
He's there. He's a prize fighter when he's needed.
Yeah, exactly. Now that Daniel Bryan isn't allowed to wrestle anymore, he was allowed to wrestle long matches for about 5 minutes. Those were great. And Punk's not there, the only other star they had. And they're refusing to do anything with any of their actual talent. Like, maybe, like, the idea of them using the part-timers and trying to bring back Shawn Michaels and Steve Austin and stuff next year is idiotic. There's just no room for any of these actual other wrestlers. Like, it's a fairly obvious point. But if all your stars are part-time stars,
yeah,
like, that's a race to the bottom, surely.
But because of Lesnar being who he is and his gimmick basically being that he's completely unbeatable, not even a gimmick, he just is unbeatable, they have to now keep him completely out of the title picture, because if they put him in it, then he has to win the title.
Yeah, and it works that he would only get, both in kayfabe and in real terms, it works that they will only bring him back when they have someone for him.
Yeah, so if he wants to have a big feud at, like, you know, two pay-per-views next year with, like, I don't know, Bray Wyatt or someone like that, that could be cool. But that's me not really thinking about that. I can't really think of where they could use him, but they need to just use him in those feuds that kind of, even if they go over a long period, that are just based around a couple of pay-per-views, and that's to build another guy or do whatever. There's no point in building the legend of Brock Lesnar anymore, I don't think.
It'll be weird, like, they're eventually going to, because I'm trying to think who would wrestle Brock Lesnar credibly, and they don't have anybody really that's a regular that they could do. Maybe Brian. Cena's already been there. Not really, you're very negative on Daniel Bryan.
Like, Bryan has had great matches and stuff, but unless Bryan somehow has another 9-month run that ends with him on top of the world, he's not big enough. It doesn't make any sense. Like, Eddie wasn't that good because he's
small. Like, one of these people that, like, posts on WWE's Facebook, like, when is Kevin Nash coming back?
No, but you need to be maybe Orton, you know, like, you just need to be taller than Bryan is. But to, like,
also, whoever it is has to want to wrestle Brock Lesnar. Yeah. And Randy Orton, like Dean Ambrose, these guys who are really good, are on record as saying, I will sell loads, you don't have to hit me.
Yeah.
Like, Dean Ambrose said it once on Colt's podcast. He was, like, talking about, I think, Dragon Gate. He goes, I hated that crap. People were legitimately kicking me. I go, if you just pretend to kick me, I'm a professional wrestler, I'll sell the move. So, like, a lot of guys are good at selling. Anyone who's good at selling will not want to face him unless he's John Cena and goes, no, I want to face Brock Lesnar because I'm John Cena. Mm. Of course I'll do that because I'm a great company guy. Most people who have brains in their heads are going to say, no, I don't want to take 16 or 20 German suplexes because I'm not a complete idiot and I don't have to.
Yeah. It'd be strange. Like, they're getting to a point now where all of next WrestleMania will be like a part-timer versus a part-timer. And all the regulars will be in a ladder match or in a battle royal.
WrestleMania 19 ended with, it was Lesnar's first WrestleMania. And it ended with Lesnar trying to look up at the sign, holding the belt. His first year. Mm. Like, Reigns has been around longer than that and they were still like, oh, he's not ready. Is that a result of planning, or is it just so much clearer that Lesnar was so much readier?
Lesnar was believable, whereas Reigns isn't actually believable, right? First of all, he's not that big. If you look at him in comparison to Brock Lesnar, he's a dweeb.
Not as much ham.
Yeah, he's an intercontinental looking wrestler then.
Yeah.
There's no other guys that are really like that, where they've just come in and you go, no, you believe the guy straight away. Like, I can't believe Roman Reigns. Most people don't believe Roman Reigns. He doesn't look tough. He's got dumb moves like Superman Punch.
Yeah.
Like, it's crap, a spear. It's crap. It's been done for the last 15 years over and over again. No one believed it when Edge did the spear, but Edge was relatively good at wrestling, so it was fine.
Yeah.
Roman Reigns can't do the spear because he doesn't have any other wrestling to back it up. He does get a bit better, but he's still, like, slightly better than shit.
isn't it kind of instructive that Lesnar headlined his first WrestleMania, won his first WrestleMania, and he was still too concussed to even notice? He couldn't enjoy it. He did probably the best and most enjoyable thing you can do as a wrestler, which is win the title at your debut WrestleMania. But because he botched the shooting star press so badly, he literally couldn't think or see for that period of time. Maybe he can't experience joy.
Yeah, well, it goes back to my thing that I think Brock Lesnar is just is fundamentally sad. Yeah. He doesn't want to be a large man jumping off of doing shooting star presses that are only impressive because he's such a huge, wide individual. He wants to be at home writing a poem.
I don't know about the poem.
Cooking a vegan dinner.
He doesn't like going out.
He doesn't like
fame.
Yeah. He likes being up.
He doesn't like wrestling. He doesn't like UFC. He doesn't like football. He doesn't like the things that large men do. He doesn't like being a large man. I'm telling you.
But he does the thing that he's good at to make money. Like, very few of us in life are ever going to be privileged enough to live to work. We all work to live. And we do the stuff that we're good at. Like, you know, so most people that work with spreadsheets don't actually like spreadsheets. They're just good at it and they're hired hands to work with spreadsheets or whatever. Accountants rarely love accounting.
But here's the thing. Lesnar's like, why does my thing have to involve me getting a concussion because I jumped upside down in front of tens of thousands of people? Why do I have to get kicked in the kidney and my kidney explode or whatever the hell happened in the Overeem fight? Why do I have to be a large man that gets punched a lot? Why can't I be the man that's good at spreadsheets? And he's at home trying to learn how to use Excel. He's weeping over me, knowing he has to go back to wrestling the next day.
Okay, well then, as a final question, what does it say about wrestling that the best guy to do it for the past a lot of years, the most exciting guy to watch, probably doesn't even like wrestling? How does that make you feel?
It's sad. He probably isn't the most exciting guy to watch over the last whatever number of years, but he's certainly got...
Is the second best match of the past 10 years, I would say.
Really?
What's the best match?
Cena Punk.
Oh. Okay.
What about when your boy Kevin Nash came back?
That was good.
That, that ladder match.
Yeah.
When Punk Cena paid off at with Triple H versus Nash.
Right, Lesnar being not that interested in wrestling but being the biggest draw of the last whatever number of years.
Yeah.
It's depressing because before this recent Lesnar run, we would have said that The Rock at Mania was one of the biggest draws, and that's even more depressing. So there's not even a second tier I can drop down to.
Why is it sad? Is it just because it ruins everything you think about work rate and like cleverly put together matches that Lesnar can just come in and be brilliant at it and be captivating for you, not just like an annoying Vince guy?
I think it's because it undermines the things that we accept about pro wrestling in general, that, you know, the overarching structures that are all invisible that we just know and accept, and we make sure we just don't touch the invisible walls.
Yeah, I think it's kind of sad in the sense that there's no reason that they can't use their current roster and have compelling matches and use them, you know, in a way that, you know, that they did in wrestling for decades up until they forgot how in these last few years. There's no reason they can't do that. Just, they're getting away with not doing it because Brock Lesnar came back. It was done at UFC. It was still really large. And that's it. They were able to plug the hole at the top of their card just because this guy was available again and haven't had to go back and relearn how to book wrestling.
Okay, so they can't learn anything from Lesnar, basically. There's no lesson for what they should do the rest of the time.
No, nobody's... You can't be you can't be 7 years old and go, when I grow up, I want to be enormous and sweaty and white, and I'm going to turn red 5 minutes into a match, and I'm just going to throw people around and be huge. You can't aspire to that.
Because Brock Lesnar is a carnival freak.
Yeah.
And that's okay.
Fair play, Carl.
See you next time. Suplex City, bitch. Suplex City, bitch. Suplex City, bitch. Suplex City, bitch. 30 seconds in.
Hit it back so hard he feel it in the next life. Pull him over that shoulder just like a knapsack. Stocky man going down like the NASDAQ. No promise revenge. I know that I'll win and I know that I'm holding that title again. It's that Lesnar for president, no election. We dictate this ring from the start to the end. Gone. Punch him in the gut and hit him with a shoulder tuck. Head down. Man, you know what's up. Spinning, flipping, man, we gotta get him over up. Then we leave him like the covers, man, he folding up. First I hit him with a knee in the ring. Then he